circles want to hyphenate that name, don't they? They want to put something before the name Christian. They'll ask, what are you? And you say, I'm a what? Well, yeah, I know you're a Christian, but I mean, what kind of Christian? You know?
Yeah.
Now, remember, you heard that, didn't you? There's only one, right? Christian. Now, remember what we said earlier? Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel, Philippians 1:17. Peter said, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, be ready always to give an answer. If you're talking to someone and you tell them that you're a Christian, well, yeah, I know you're a Christian, but what kind? You say, no. You miss it. I'm just simply a Christian. Okay? Well, show me where that's at in the Bible. Maybe they ask, show me that. Where's that at? Because I've not really heard that. I've heard about the Methodists, and I've heard about the Presbyterians, and I've heard about the Catholics, and, you know, just right on down the line here. But where's this Christian thing you're talking about? Where are we going to take it to? Now, wait a minute. Let's do this. How many of us are Christians in here this morning? Ooh, pretty near everyone. Now, don't we understand that we've got to, brothers and sisters, there's just some things we have right on our cuff that we need to be able to spit it out.
Well, I would take somebody to where Joshua said, we serve the Lord, and that's the kind of Christian.
But that's not what's satisfying, Mike.
Okay.
I want this term Christian. Show me, Mike, where you're a Christian in the Bible. Why you wear that name Christian?
They were first called Christians in Antioch.
Where's that at, Mike?
That's in Acts.
Acts what, Mike?
I don't know.
Okay. Somebody help him out.
11:26.
Acts 11:26. Okay. They were called Christians. The disciples. The disciples what? A learner? A follower? A student of Christ? So the disciples were called Christians. Notice they weren't called Baptists. They weren't called Lutherans. They weren't called Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians. Why weren't they called that?
There's no such thing.
They weren't there. It was non-existent at that time. The denominations, as we know denominations today, they weren't even in existence. Okay, so Mike takes his neighbor. Well, look right here, Acts 11:26. And that's, but I'm not satisfied with just one example. Give me another example. Is there another scripture? Do you mean to tell me it's only one time in the Bible? How many times is it? How many times do we find the term Christian or Christians in the Bible?
I can think of one more. That's when the king said, you almost convinced me to become a Christian.
Yeah.
I forgot what his name is.
Okay, somebody want to help him out? Who?
Agrippa.
Agrippa. King Agrippa. And
that's in Acts also.
And where's that in Acts?
I don't know.
Okay, so I'm going to help Mike out again.
I won't forget when I hear it.
That's right. Acts 26:28. All right? Look in Acts 26:28. All right, here's Paul again. Hey, listen, you got to remember what the environment Paul's in here, because Paul was once in the loop, wasn't he? He knew Agrippa. In fact, he goes on record and says, King Agrippa, I know, you know the prophets, he said. And then, Agrippa replies and says, what, verse 28?
Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.
Almost. Is almost to be a Christian good enough?
No.
It's not good enough. Almost you persuade even me, Paul, to be a what?
Christian.
Not a Baptist. Not a Methodist. Not an Episcopalian. Not a Presbyterian. Not a Jehovah's Witness. Not a Pentecostal. Why? They're not existent. I'm telling you, folks are out here scripturally ignorant. Again, not saying that sarcastically, that's just the fact. They don't know their Bible. Okay? So there's twice. Now, how many times is the term Christian in the Bible?
Three. One more time.
Who said three? Three. Joe said three. So we've got two, right? Okay, wonder where that third one's at. 1 Peter 4:16, in that great suffering chapter. What's he saying there, brother?
It says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter.
There, in what matter? In the matter that he's a Christian. You see? Yeah, if anyone suffers as a Christian, don't be ashamed about it. Why, that's that noble name, the Bible says, that we wear. Now, can we find a little bit of history about this name Christian? Where it might have derived from, where it had its origin from?
Christ?
That's a good place to start, isn't it? But what about prophecy? Did any of the prophets of God foretell this name to come?
They shall wear my name, but...
They'll wear my name. What about Isaiah 62:2? Remember what Isaiah says there? That my people will be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. All right. And so, see, we've got a prophesied name here throughout the Old Testament, and then we've got that name fulfilled in the New Testament. So now I'm set for the defense. Okay? I know why I wear the name Christian. Because the prophets of God prophesied it, and it's found fulfilled in the New Testament, where Acts 11:26, Acts 26:28, 1 Peter 4:16. Boom, boom, boom. There it is. Alright? Now, you're replying back to this Baptist friend of yours. And I don't mean to be, I'm not banging, listen, beating up on these folks per se. I'm just trying to expose, because the Bible lets us know that we're to do this. All right. So now, your turn. You show them Mike. They've asked you, where's this name Christian? And let's say they're a Baptist. And now you say, all right, your turn. Show me where you're a Baptist in the Bible. Now, chances are they'll really do a stretch here and say, well, John the Baptist, right? Oh, you know, we've got to be tolerant, brothers and sisters, sometimes. Not tolerant of sin, but tolerant of people and their lack of knowledge. Remember what Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 said? What the prophet of God said there? He said, my people are destroyed, why? For lack of knowledge. And that's not going to change. God's people today will be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why, 1 Peter 3:18, no, 2 Peter, no, 1st, I think it's 2 Peter 3:18. Yes, it's 2 Peter. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Add to your faith virtue, and the virtue what? Knowledge, you see. So knowledge is something that we have to ascertain in our lives as Christians. We've got to add knowledge. I've got to know all I can about God's knowledge. So anyway, you say, okay, where's it at? The bat? Well, okay, can't find. Well, what about you, Mr. Presbyterian? You know, where's it at? No, clueless. Okay, so there's just an example of why the Lord's church is opposed, is because we really demand book, chapter, and verse. Book, chapter, and verse, don't we? Why do we demand it?
Because we're legalists.
Say it again?
Because we're legalists?
Yeah, no. Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah. Yeah, think about it. You know, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If I'm going to talk religion, if I'm going to talk salvation, if I'm going to talk the church, what, I've got to, hey, I've got to have it. It's just like in your jobs. Think about it. If you don't know your job, yep, yeah, there you go. You know, there's somebody waiting to take your position, let me tell you that, okay? Now, let's look at this. What about, is the church opposed because of why, or when we say the church began, for example? Okay, we've established we're the Church of Christ, right? We're Christians. But let's just focus on that just for a moment before we go here about this Church of Christ. Because, you know, sometimes we're called a what?
Cult.
Cult. Yeah. Why? Because of being legalistic, pharisaical, you know, all these terms and labels they put on us. Because we say there's only one true church. How dare we say that? Right? No. We have a right to say that, don't we? We have a right to say that we're the church of the Bible. And do you know why we're the church of the Bible? Because it's the only church you're going to read of in the Bible. Now, how do we trace the church's roots from the Bible? Where are we going to go?
Acts chapter 2.
Let's go to prophecy first. You're right, Rich. Okay? That's the establishment.
Genesis.
Genesis what?
Chapter 1.
Okay, and how would you make the application there, Mike?
Well, that's when God made a promise that He would prepare salvation for people. So, yeah, I might be going back too far for your lesson again.
Okay.
3:15.
Who said 3:15? 3:15. Here's the 3:15, you know, I mean, here's our first utterance of a prophetic Messiah coming into the world, you know. And it's here in Genesis 3:15, you know, that it's stated. Well, and read that, Rich, if you don't mind. And let's notice the importance of Genesis 3:15.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
Now, who's God talking to here, Rich?
The serpent.
He's talking to the serpent, right? And he says, I'm going to put enmity. What is enmity?
Division.
Yeah, division, hatred, you know, just utter opposition, you know, between your seed and his seed. And don't we see that today? I mean, it's happened that way from the beginning, and it continues to this day. It will continue this way until the Lord comes in the clouds again, you see. This opposition between Satan and Christ. Now, we know that Christ is going to be victorious, already victorious. Well, we see that in the book of Revelation, okay, as far as that goes. We know from 1 John 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We know that from 1 Corinthians 15:57, that victory is in Christ Jesus, you see. So we're victorious, okay, over the devil, okay. Genesis 3:15, going back to that passage there, the Bible says there that you will bruise his heel. Satan, you'll bruise the heel of Christ. What's he implying there? You know the implication of that phrase, bruise your heel? He'll wound Christ. Okay? And he did. Christ was put to death. All right? But 3 days later, read the rest of that, Rich. What's it say? Thou shalt crush his what? His head.
You shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel.
That's right. Christ will bruise his head. Christ resurrected from the dead. The devil thought he had won, right? When he had Christ put to death. He bruised his heel. That's all he did. It was just a temporary wound. But the third day, as we sing, up from the grave he arose, you know? Yeah, that's right. Christ bruised his head. He showed him who was truly in charge. Okay? We belong to the Church of Christ. Okay? Someone says, well, why do you belong to the Church of Christ? Where is that in the Bible? Remember, they want to know where Christian was, right? So now we've showed them where the Christian is, you know, Acts 11:26, Acts 26:28, 1 Peter 4:16. Now, where's this Church of Christ that you belong to at? I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I just don't. I want to read it for myself. And not that I not that I don't believe you, but I'm a little suspicious. I got to see it to believe it. So where are we going now? Now let's trace its roots again. Remember what I said? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And whoever gets there first, go ahead and read verses 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
That's right. See, it's going to be a spiritual kingdom, you know, that's going to be established. But where is it going to be established? Out of... Sister Eva... Where's this kingdom that Isaiah is prophesying going to be established?
Right here on earth.
What city? Where at? In Jerusalem. You see that? Out of Zion. Zion, Jerusalem, synonymous. One and the same. Out of Zion shall go forth the word of the Lord. Now watch this. You go over to Acts 2. And what's going forth? The word. Peter and the apostles are speaking the word. Let all nations have flowed to Jerusalem for that great festival day of Pentecost, right? They come from 17 different dialects are represented there. You can start counting them there at verse number, where is that, 9? Parthians and the Medes, the Elamites. Those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them speak in our own tongue. Look, they're all gathered here in Jerusalem. Now, go back to Isaiah 2 where Rich read, all nations shall flow unto it. You see the connection? We're connecting the dots here. From Isaiah 2 to Acts 2. Alright? Now, in Acts 2 at verse 22, the word of the Lord is going to go forth. Now remember, they're in Jerusalem here in Acts 2, right? They're in the city of Jerusalem. Out of Zion, out of Jerusalem shall go forth the word of the Lord. Here they are in Acts 2 in Jerusalem. Verse 22, Peter says, men of Israel, hear these words. The word of the Lord now is just getting ready to go forth, just as Isaiah prophesied it. Get that, okay? Remember, connect the dots. It goes forth, right? Now, I'm saying all this to come to a result here. It goes forth. Peter starts preaching about Jesus, how that the Jews were guilty of delivering him to the determinate purpose or the by the foreknowledge of God, there, verse 23, that you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, who God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by death. Okay? Then he talks about David, you know. And then he gets down there, verse 29, again about David. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that the fruit of his body, and Christ came out of the lineage of David, right? All right? According to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. Now, keep reading there. Verse 34, the Lord said to my Lord, sit there at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now look at this. Peter's preaching. He's preaching, and all of a sudden, at verse 37, his message is being interrupted. Someone out of the crowd says something. Look at verse 37. Now, when they heard this, heard what? Heard that they were guilty of putting the Lord and Savior to death. heard that, you know, they have crucified him, right? Now, when they heard this, they were pricked or cut to the heart and said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They just had to stop Peter. They were so convicted, so cut to the heart, we put Christ to death. What can I do about this? Peter tells them what to do in verse 38, doesn't he? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you and your children, all come to our Father in the Lord that God shall come. And with many other words, now Peter picks up his preaching again. You see that? And with many other words, and he exhorted and testified, saying, save yourselves from this perverse or this crooked generation. You know, they that baptized Jesus were baptized. But notice at verse 47, the last verse. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the what?
Church.
What's your Bible say there?
Church.
What's your Bible say? The Lord added to the what?
Church.
Church. You see that? Daily, those who were being saved. Now we've got to ask ourselves a question. Which church? Which church were they added to? Now, let's look at the list again. The Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church, the Pentecostal Church, you know. Which church were they added to? Now, wait a minute, Rich. You read the prophecy that the word of the Lord is going to go forth from Jerusalem. They're in Jerusalem. You read in prophecy, Rich, that all nations would flow into it. All nations are gathered here. Verse 41, about 3,000 obeyed the gospel that day, right? Okay. Which church were they added to? See, we need to ask our neighbors that. Now, which church do you think it was? Okay, now just solidify this now, okay? What did Jesus say about his church?
He said, my church.
Who said that? Yes.
Church.
Okay, give me a speed. You got the scripture?
Not a...
That's okay. Listen. My church, but now see... Your friend's going to want to know, yeah, you said it, but I got to read it. Now remember, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer, right? That's what we're commanded to do. We're set for the defense, right? We got to be able to shoot it back at them. All right? So where is this my church thing?
Matthew 16, 18.
Did you hear that? Go ahead and read that, Joe.
And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail.
Who's talking here?
Right.
See? Now, we got to establish this. I just want to back up to verse 13. Because they came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. When they got off the coast, they asked Jesus asked his disciples two questions. He said, who do men say that I am? See that there, verse 13? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now notice their responses. Well, some say, now that's some. Some say, thou art who?
John
the Baptist. Some say thou art who?
Elijah.
Some say thou art Jeremiah or one of the what? One of the prophets. Now, what's the second question? That's who some say. But who do you say that I am? Now, what's the response?
Christ, the Son of the Living.
Yeah, who said that?
Peter
said it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. That's just what Jesus was wanting to hear, wasn't it? Why? Because he pronounced a blessing on him. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock, now watch this, upon this rock I will what?
Build
what? My church. What was he standing on a big rock like the Plymouth Rock and saying, upon this rock I'll build my church? What's the rock?
Foundation.
Was that Rick?
The truth that he stated about Jesus being the Son of God.
Yeah, he's not John the Baptist. He's not Jeremiah. He's not Elijah or one of those prophets. But of a truth, he is who? The Son of God. That rock. There's two Greek words there for Peter and rock. Petra and Petros. One meaning a small stone, which is Peter. One meaning a large stone, which is the confession that Peter made. I am the Son of God. That Christ made, that I am the Son of God. Okay? So, when Jesus says there that upon this rock, upon this confession, I am the Christ, you know, the Son of God, and I will build my church. And even the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Nothing's going to stand in his way. The church is going to be established. It will stand forever and ever. We sing that song too. Forever and ever. Amen. You know? Yeah. Think about that. So here we are. We're saying now we prove to these people where a Christian is, why we're a Christian. Three times. Where are they again? Where are they again, please?
1 Peter 4:16.
Acts 11:26. 26:28. Okay. All right. So we proved that. And now we've seen the church in prophecy in Isaiah what?
2.
Isaiah 2:2-5, right? We've seen it fulfilled where? Matthew 16:18, Acts 2, right? We've seen it fulfilled. All right? And yet people will oppose. Let me tell you something, guys. We're about out of time, aren't we, Joe? Or are we?
A couple more minutes.
Couple minutes. Let me say this in closing. You see what we can do? You see what we've done this morning? There is not another church on this earth who can do what we've just done. Now, that's a pretty bold statement. But there's not another church on the face of this earth that can take you to the Bible and prove their existence like we've just proven the Church of Christ. You can't do it. And again, I don't say that, you know, sarcastically, like shame on them. I just wish they would study their Bible. I just wish they'd have an open heart to sit down and say, ooh, wow, that is what the Bible says. But I've been taught, yeah, that's right, you've been taught something else. You haven't searched the Scriptures yourself. Remember in Acts 17 and verse 11 that they searched those of Berea more noble or more fair-minded than those of Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched the Scriptures how often?
Daily.
They had a readiness of mind. They searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things spoken were so. If these folks in these denominations and these other religious circles out there would search the Scriptures, hear what this guy or this woman up here is saying, and when they come across something, well, no, my Bible doesn't read like that, you know, or a lot of times you don't even get Bible anymore. You just get, you know, other stuff. That's not important as far as that goes. But nevertheless, I appreciate the good class this morning, and I hope it's benefited and helped us somewhat. Thank you for your kind attention and your input. Thank you.
Hey, Joe, I will give a PowerPoint for the next session. I need to take a note. I'm always racing against the clock, so I keep going. There's just so much.
Oh yeah,
there's just so much.
Now I'm on last night. My girlfriend.
Once I realized we hadn't recorded it, I went. We got 28 minutes. We didn't get the first part. It was after I wrote a song.